A reading from the book of Revelation, Revelation 21, 1 through 6a. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. We will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning, crying, and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." May the living word of God speak to us through these ancient words of Scripture.
Okay, folks. Now's your chance. Any biblically, spiritually, Christmas-related questions, please? Oh, yes, of course. Only fair.
We said today in our prayer, and you said today in your word to the children, that Christ, Jesus, is the greatest gift that we received from God. Mm-hmm. I understand that, and I totally agree with the preaching that I have heard in this church for 25 years about the humanitarian need for us to have concern for all of the peoples of the world in all the various demographic categories of needy and needing compassion. Yes, absolutely. However, if my reading of Scripture is in any way rooted also in the Old Testament, I think that the commandment, "Am I my brother's keeper?" comes after the commandment to care for our earth, creation, the stewardship of the earth. I think that comes first in Genesis, that we are given this earth and the responsibility to care for it. And I think that we're at a unique and unusual moment in the history of the world where a return to some consciousness about the importance to care for our stewardship of our earth, the trees, the birds, the plants, all of these are in danger as we go forward at this unique moment in time. And I guess my question to the minister is that I've been listening to sermons in this church for 25 years. And the number of sermons that I've heard about our responsibility to the earth, to the trees, to the plants, to the birds, to the creatures, and what we can do as people. We all have, every single one of us has something we could do. If we did nothing else, but get into our cars fully dressed in coats. And instead of idling our cars for half an hour while we sit and tweet, we could turn the engine off and do something about global warming. The number of sermons I've heard in this church on the subject of our earth, you could probably count on the fingers of one hand. And it's a question, please. Put you on the spot, right?
Well, I don't know if I have an answer to you other than to say that it is certainly, it is of high biblical importance. When God says in the Genesis story that you are to be, it says you are to have dominion over creation, but in the Hebrew, the Genesis is originally written, and dominion has more to do with stewardship, caretaking. So he says to humanity that you are to be caretakers. So it's not an either or. It is creation, is humanity, it's all. It's humanity, it's animals, it's all of it. And we are to be the caretakers. So, yes, if you've only heard a few sermons on that over the years, that's something that we probably need to look at speaking more about. So. Yeah, Jenny?
This is going to call on your Catholic upbringing, Mark. You were raised Catholic.
I was brought up Catholic. Yes, I was.
I was listening to the radio about 3 weeks ago, and they said alternate side of the street parking had been suspended for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And I thought, that doesn't add up. So I looked it up in the Wikipedia, and they said it comes 9 months before the Feast of Mary, which is September. Why is it not 9 months before Christmas?
That's a great question. And those are the kinds of questions that I am not terribly expert at, nor do I pay a whole lot of attention to. Do you want to? I mean, I have an answer, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Because the Immaculate Conception was about Mary.
Mary's.
It's Mary. Yeah. Mary is born without sin, and therefore she was able to give birth to God's Son. It's not about the
Jesus. It's not Jesus. Right. It's Mary's. It's Mary's conception, not Jesus's. No, I know. That's where I was going. I'm glad you did it. Any voice I can save is...
Continuing along the same line, there was an article in the Times this week, and one of the questions in the article was, can you be considered a good Christian if you don't believe in the Immaculate Conception, and you don't believe that Mary was a virgin birth?
So the question to me
is, can you be considered a good Christian if you don't believe those two premises, that Mary was a virgin when she gave birth, and that she was conceived immaculately?
From where I sit, yeah, absolutely. I don't find. Again, that is a difference that we happen to have with Catholicism. But the biblical basis for both of those ideas is, I think, is quite thin and quite questionable. I think in the end there are certain things that absolutely are required to be of the Christian faith, and it is to a belief in God. It is to see God represented to us best in the person of Jesus and who and what he stood for and taught for us. I'm kind of an essentialist when it comes to things like that. I think beyond that there's a whole lot of room for discussion. Debate, sometimes interesting, sometimes completely pointless, and other times completely harmful because it sets us against each other needlessly. But when it comes to, where I am, again, I think there's a couple of basic things that are necessary, and beyond that, we are free to discuss and debate and help each other grow faith-wise in that area without having to believe anything like that. I quit turning this off.
A technical question. How much community is there among UCC and Congregationalist ministers during the week talking, collaborating? I know that every church does their own individual thing, but I wonder if there's themes that sort of span church to church every week.
In general, or in the New Jersey Association? I don't have a good read nationally what other groups are doing. All I can tell you is that we've made a lot of progress in the New Jersey Association in the last 2 or 3 years. We went many years where we didn't do a whole lot together. But in the last, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, we developed this thing called Pastor Lab. And so now 4 or 5 times a year we get together. Everybody's invited, and there's a presentation made about a particular aspect of ministry that's relevant, whether it's, again, preaching or theology or just, you know, church organization and function, those kinds of things. We host those here at Westfield. I'm not in charge of that, but we do host them. We have a retreat coming up in a few weeks. So there's a lot more of that going on than there used to be. On the flip side of that, though, of course, is that the way that we're structured, and we are structured as independent congregations. We're not beholden to any other. So it's a partnership, but again, each congregation has to figure out what they can give to that and in what way and at what time. Does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, in that regard, one of the things that came up, I led the Pastor Lab, the most recent one here, and one of the things that came up, because it was about preaching, and one of the questions that came up, we got into a discussion about whether we have a preaching calendar or how much we follow this thing called the lectionary. If you've never heard of the lectionary, it is something that was developed a number of years ago that many Christian denominations share. And it simply sets out 3 or 4 readings from Scripture for each day of the year. And then you are free to choose from and preach relevant to those. So the question is, how much do you follow that? How much do you plan a year ahead of time? And the responses, as you can imagine, were quite varied. We tend not to follow the lectionary very much at all. We do a lot of theme stuff, Advent, Lent. And most of the rest of the time, as you know, my inclination is to go with what's going on in the world specifically, or in people's lives if that particular issue comes up. So, again, quite a bit of variety in that regard. Any others? Bob?
I believe that the UCC was formed in 1957, which is, I believe, 60 years ago. And as we look out on the landscape of the Christian denominations, it seems very fractured to me. And I just wondered if you see any changes in that in terms of various denominations, perhaps, forging a closer alliance or joining together.
I don't necessarily. There's certainly been some more ecumenical movement in recent years. The Catholic Church and the Lutherans have come to some agreements on some things. The Catholic Church and the UCC, the Lutherans, there are agreements. We're closer now about issues like communion, for instance. When it comes to matters of female clergy, that's still, you know, a long way apart. Other denominations, the Methodists, the Lutherans, continue to have enormous internal conflict around the issues of gay rights, gay marriage, gay clergy, that kind of thing. You know, those are minimal conflicts at best within the UCC these days. So I wish there were more. I don't necessarily, where I see the gap widening is between, we used to say conservative and liberal churches. I think the terms now, and they're probably better terms, are literal and open in terms of how Christian churches interpret the Bible. And I see more of a gap growing between literal and open churches in that regard. We would certainly be on the open church side of things in terms of we take the Bible seriously, as my mentor Stephanie Weiner up in Montclair used to say, we take the Bible seriously, but not literally all the time. Okay, so I think that's where the gap is. And that concerns me the most, is the fracturing that's going on in that direction, because I don't see any, you know, any movement. The only area where I do see some movement together between those two types of churches and communities is when it comes is poverty. That's the one area in the last few years where there has been a coming together, more, again, literal, open, evangelical, liberal, conservative, however you want to term those kinds of congregations. They're doing more together in terms of recognizing how serious an issue poverty is and the income gap. That's the one area. Yeah, Dan? Tell you more about the cross with the S in it. I would love to. I can't remember because I did a sermon on it because Bev Heinrich brought it up. Asked me about that, why the cross has what looks like a dollar sign. Which is true. And if I remember from that sermon, the answer has to do with it's actually a combination of Greek letters. It is an I, an H, and an S. And those are related to letters of how Jesus' name is spelled in Greek. Don't quote me exactly on that without looking back at what I said on that Sunday, but it is in that ballpark. But it is not a dollar sign. It is not a dollar sign. Although during stewardship season, perhaps we should say it's a dollar sign. All right, great. Well, thank you very much, and let us, I guess we are moving to our closing hymn. All right, so let's stand and join together in 120 Red, our closing hymn.